So, but besides that, then keeping the same precautions, right? Wearing masks, typical hygiene.
Hey there, yes, you. Welcome back to The Analysis. I'm your host, Annalisa Gale, an award-winning journalist in DC. This month, I'm sitting down with Max Jordan and Gomini Tiako, who is answering some of your questions about the vaccines. Let's get right to it. Max, thank you so much for making time for us. We really appreciate this. Pleasure to have you on the show. Full disclosure, we went to school together. So, you know, nice to see you again. Definitely a tough time for us all. How are you holding up?
You know, I'm surviving. It's match week in medical school. So, you know, good news abound. I just found out that I matched today.
Yay!
So that's kind of cool. But yeah, thanks for having me on your podcast. It's good to be here, Annalisa.
Yes, and we are here to talk about vaccines. A lot of people, family members, friends, have been asking me, which one is the best one? Should I get it? And, you know, I personally tell people to make their own decisions. Do what you want to do, what you feel comfortable with. But I would recommend, if you want to get the vaccine, to speak to medical professionals about it. So that's why we have Max here. Max, give us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I'm not, so this is, whatever I will say here is not medical advice. So I'm a fourth year medical student at Yale. I will be graduating in a few months of sort of my graduation requirements at this point. I went to Howard for undergrad, hence how we know each other, of course, and studied bioengineering. I grew up in Cameroon before I moved here to the United States. In medical school, I've sort of been doing, you know, in addition to sort of just my typical clinical training, I've been doing health equity research from marginalized and or stigmatized backgrounds. So I study the quality of care for people with addiction, substance use disorders, especially I sort of have like two patient populations of interest so far. So one of them is pregnant women with substance use disorders. And another one was people who inject drugs specifically because they get these really bad infections that can be fatal. So yeah.
You forgot one thing, Max. You were named on the 30 under 30 list for Forbes. Big deal.
Thank you. You know, it's funny. I feel like it's not, that's not like a background thing, right? It's like, it's so recent. I don't know.
Congratulations, Max. Congratulations. You're still soaking it up. That's wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that. That is wonderful. So let's get right to it. So the vaccines, what are you hearing right now? What are the brands available? Which ones should people be aware of?
Right. So right now we have, and again, like I said, this isn't medical advice. So I don't want people to think to like hear this and say, I heard this from a doctor. Right. But I mean, I've been reading up on the literature. So of course the first vaccine in the US that got sort of like emergency use approval, which is different from your typical approval, was the Pfizer vaccine, which was then followed by Moderna. And the third one is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And so as you were asking, you know, or people are asking like, which one's the best? It's funny, my aunt just got the Pfizer shot a couple of days ago. And she said, well, I wanted the Moderna shot. And I said, wow. She's like, well, I wanted the one the black girl worked on. It was kind of cute. I got the Moderna shot. So Pfizer and Moderna had similar endpoints, right? They looked at symptomatic infection, hospitalization, and unfortunately, initially in the trial, whether or not asymptomatic infection was whether or not asymptomatic infection would be reduced by the trial, that was not measured in the Pfizer trial. I think the Moderna trial had some data about it, but like they weren't like sort of powered to actually have that as an endpoint. But Moderna did initially show there was some reduction of asymptomatic infection in the treatment arm. And so since then, you know, we've had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is one, again, it has a different set of endpoints, right? So Johnson & Johnson is a one shot instead of two shots compared to the, you know, the Moderna and Pfizer, who are better, both delivered on mRNA platform. But the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is one shot, 100% effective at preventing hospitalization and death, right? Or, you know, severe symptomatic disease, hospitalization and death. Not 100% effective at preventing symptomatic disease, right? So if you get a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you may still get COVID, but it will not be severe whatsoever, right? You may get some very mild symptoms, which is good. And so I think it's hard to compare those three vaccines when the endpoints were different, right? So when we think about the role in this case, right, it's like, okay, what do we want with this, like, sort of public health intervention, right? You know, at the time when a lot of this was being planned, you know, the goal, like, in the WHO set a goal of, like, okay, we want these to be effective at, like, 50%. You know, that, like, that would, for one, reduce the pressure on the health system, healthcare system, right? So reduce hospitalization, reduce mortality, because when the healthcare system is under a lot of pressure, the quality of care that's provided for everyone who's hospitalized goes down, right? If you look, there's some data that showed that people who were hospitalized with COVID on, you know, when the health systems were overwhelmed, got worse, you know, did worse. And then there's a spillover effect onto people who don't even have COVID, but who are also hospitalized, right? Just because there's only about so much attention that can be, or attention and resources that can be put towards care. So I'd say it's hard to compare the, you know, the three ultimately. And I don't know, I actually don't know what, how it works in terms of, like, choosing what vaccine you want or don't want. Like, for me, I showed up at the, you know, at the vaccination site here, and they're like, you're getting a Moderna vaccine today. I was like, thank you, Lord, and I'll take it. That is sort of the advice that is generally being given. I mean, I will say, though, that your risk of exposure probably should inform if someone has a choice, right? So, for instance, and especially now that Joe Biden said that by, like, May 1st, there will be enough vaccines for everyone who wants it in the United States. You know, if you're someone who is like at a, you know, high risk of exposure, or whatever, maybe it makes the most sense to get the vaccines that we know for sure prevent asymptomatic, that actually prevent infection, period, right? Those vaccines, so, you know, for people who work in the most high risk settings, I would wager that Pfizer and Moderna probably, you know, better umbrellas in this situation, or people who are in most high-risk settings. And if you're, like, sort of, like, low risk of exposure or contracting the vaccine, then Johnson & Johnson is probably, you know, that's, you know, or any of the above, right? There's a new one that just got, released data, Novavax, and it's also very highly effective against the initial variant at, like, 94.5%, I think. But not as much against the newer variants. And I should say that the Pfizer, that data keeps showing that the Pfizer vaccine is very effective against all the variants. So that's a very long spiel. Novavax has not gone through FDA review just yet, but, you know, they released the data.
Okay, you brought up a good point. And just to clarify, going back to the point you made about whether or not people can pick the vaccines that they want, what we're seeing right now is that people usually sign up and they find out when they get there, like you said.
Yeah. So honestly, get whatever is handed to you when you show up. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where a lot of what we're doing is, like, harm, you know, it's like sort of harm reduction. The guidelines are still recommending that people wear a mask and, you know, do all the other sort of, like, non-pharmacological interventions. So even though, you know, say, like, Pfizer is, like, pretty darn safe, right? Like, the new CDC guidelines are saying that people who are fully vaccinated. So if you're 2 weeks after your second dose of either Pfizer or Moderna, at the time where these guidelines were released, we're saying, you know, you don't need to isolate after if you've gotten exposed to the coronavirus, regardless, right? So that suggests that you're at incredibly low risk of contracting that. But, like, you know, maybe a little different otherwise. And so wearing masks and keeping, you know, sort of like keeping with the other safety precautions is probably, you know, like sort of the second layer, the second umbrella there.
Yeah, good point. And what we're seeing right now is that since the vaccines have been rolling out more rapidly, more and more states are starting to lift those restrictions. Maryland started lifting most of their restrictions except for a few counties. And DC just announced that they're lifting some restrictions as well. They're going up to outdoor gatherings up to 50 people starting on the 22nd. Some high school, middle school sports, movie theaters with capacity limits, and indoor group fitness up to 10 people. So, yeah, since the vaccine came out, we're starting to see some movement in terms of restrictions. Just wanted to point that out there. But I am seeing there's some concerns from workers who are asked to take the vaccine. Like there was this one woman at a New York restaurant who said she didn't want to get the vaccine because she's concerned about her fertility chances. What are doctors saying about that?
Yeah, you know, Tony, I've heard about that kind of concern, and it's not really evidence-based, right? There isn't even biological plausibility here. You're not going, like, the vaccine is not going to affect anyone's fertility. There's a good New York Times article that was co-written by one of my professors, actually, Akiko Iwazaki. She's an immunologist and virologist here at Yale, and probably the leading person on this matter. And yeah, I mean, I think there are lots of conspiracies out there, and people are afraid of how the vaccine might affect their future because, yes, it is a biological agent, but there isn't even like a, you know, like a biological pathway that I can think of that can go from you getting the vaccine to your fertility being affected. So I would not be concerned.
Got it.
And certainly there are adverse reactions, right? And some may be severe. I definitely heard of like at least one case of something called acute disseminated acute disseminated encephalomyopathy or encephalitis. I can't remember. It's this really, really bad like inflammatory process that has to do with the immune system. And so this person had to basically get their whole plasma exchange, it's called plasmapheresis. But those instances are incredibly, incredibly rare. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, it may be like, I don't know, it's like your chances of getting struck by lightning, right? Like you don't not walk outside in the rain because you're afraid of getting struck by lightning because it's something that's incredibly rare. I don't know if I'm making any sense there.
No, you make sense. You're making sense. So what would your advice be to people who are waiting for the vaccine right now and you can see the shortage across the nation, it's not readily available to everybody. In the meantime, should they avoid crowds and things like that while they're continuing to wait for the vaccine?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like I would say, you know, continue doing what you've been doing when there was no vaccine on the horizon, right? Like, so you're still at risk. You're still at risk of being exposed, right? I mean, certainly being around other people who have been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, is a safe endeavor, right? I think the CDC, the new CDC guidelines say people who are fully vaccinated can visit friends who are not fully vaccinated, mm-hmm. right? So, but besides that, then keeping the same precautions, right? Wearing masks, typical hygiene, yeah, I mean, and then using whatever technology is out there to identify when will the vaccine be available to people in either your age group or whatever criteria your state or city is using. I think there's like a couple of vaccine trackers online now. And so, you know, patients, safety, and low-risk activities, doing things outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw you made a little face when I mentioned the restrictions being lifted in some areas. Why is that? Do you have concerns?
yeah, oh my God. I mean, the fact that Texas is like lifting masking mandate is kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, the proportion of the population that's been vaccinated is way too low to start doing away with what you call that, with the non-pharmacologic interventions that we know work. You know what I mean? So I think it basically shifts the burden onto workers and small businesses to then begin a confrontation with customers, to tell a customer who might not want to put a mask on, right? And now that that's taken, the state is no longer, saying everybody wear a mask. Now the burden of both enforcement, but also the degree to which this confrontation gets risky, right? Like falls onto the business owner or the individual who is asking customers to do so. And of course, if you're a business owner at a silly establishment, you can still say, if you're going to come in here, I'm going to need you to wear a mask. But this is Texas we're talking about, where open carry is a thing, right? So just thinking about how scary things get when you make demands of people that aren't backed by the state is something, something worth considering. I think I saw the Texas Attorney General was tweeting the other day that he's going to sue the city of Austin if Austin doesn't lift their mask mandate. Because, this is a thing that often happens in states where, say, the governor and the state legislature are conservative, but, people in the smaller cities, people in large cities or city governments are liberal, and that sort of contention that takes place. And so, it's a kind of a crazy conundrum.
Yeah. Well, final question, Max. This is more on the outlook side. Are you hopeful that we will get close to where we were pre-pandemic?
In what terms, right? Are we going to go back to Coachella without a mask?
The second.
I don't know. I don't know. Wouldn't it be nice? But as we're learning, there are some added benefits, right? I think nearly no children died of the flu this year, maybe only one, but every year is so many more, right? If you look at the data on influenza, hospitalizations and influenza rates writ large, and same with RSV, which is a virus that affects babies especially, those cases are low this year, right, compared to years prior. And it may be a combination of not just masking, but also, the sort of very, crazy hand washing that we've been doing, but ultimately good, right? I think there's going to be kind of a weighing, right, of okay, here are all the other benefits we, as few as they are, but here are some benefits from the previous year in terms of, public health things, right? And here are some of the drawbacks. Wintertime comes around, the flu season comes up, we encourage you to consider wearing a mask. It's going to be totally up to, local culture and also, how much the government wants to use its power to make public health recommendations and guidelines.
That's a good point. And plus, I think the masks look a little cool. I would kind of like to see a mask at Coachella. Can you imagine all the eye masks at Coachella?
Rihanna was wearing the really cool Gucci mask a few years ago. Yeah. I was like, what a visionary. Right? I think masks were becoming a thing at festivals. So, not so far-fetched.
Yeah. I kind of like it. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I will say I like seeing people's entire faces.
Oh, no. I kind of like the mystery of it all. I love walking into a grocery store and no one knows who I am. It's funny. Great. It's all great. Right. All right. Well, thank you so much, Max. This was a joy. Really appreciate you sharing your knowledge.
And that brings us to the end of the analysis. Be sure to subscribe to keep up with all the latest episodes. And if you really like the show, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts and share with friends. See you next time. Take care.